jets, cold sullen stream, shall o'er me roll. Blessed Savior, then, in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bible. You may be seated. We've got Brother Patterson. You come and preach. Hallelujah. Appreciate so much. We had the Pattersons over for lunch today. And we all fit in that mansion. Lord bless
you. Thank you, preacher. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. You're glad to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
About four or five of you. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jeannie, I'm glad you got friends. You said something about having friends today. I got to thinking, here's a preacher up here. He can preach, you know, does a good job at it. He can sing, and he toots his own horn. Man, imagine that. Hallelujah. Over here, if you go with me this evening, let's go to the book of Luke in chapter 4. Luke in chapter 4 with me tonight as we begin. Luke in chapter 4. It is good to be here again today. Enjoyed the fellowship with your pastor and his wife today out at their house, out at their mansion. Amen. There's not a lot of preachers around the country that have a mansion. Amen. Not on this side of the world. You're right. Not in our fellowship either. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. What a work you have in progress out there. I'm saying. Yeah, I hope you live long enough to see it come to fruition, amen. And I'd like to live long enough to see you come to fruition with that, amen. It is a beautiful home, is it not? And boy, I tell you, Tracy is admiring that little deck you helped him put on out back there and that wall down there, you know, around that. That is a pretty good job. Oh, you don't think it was? I thought, listen, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a master carpenter. And another friend of his, they were working on the guy's house together in Virginia. And I was down there one time helping him, but he said, Brother Ray, who's a master carpenter, and the other guy by the name of Tim looks at Brother Ray one day, he said, the difference between me and you, Ray, is you're a scalpel and I'm a broadsword, amen. So Ray's very meticulous, amen. And Tim just slaps it together, hallelujah, and then Ray goes back and fixes it for him, I guess. Praise the Lord. Well, God, it's good. It is good to be back here again this evening with you. And I thank the Lord that I can be here with you this week again this year. I don't know how many more years, preacher, but at least for now, hallelujah, you know, I'm able to still get out and still be able to preach His Word. I hope the Lord, I really do, I always pray that God will let me preach until the day I die, you know. I don't want to die preaching, but I like to preach up until that time, amen, before that happens to me. But God is good. Luke chapter 4, would you stand with me as we read, if you're able to, down in verse 16. We're going to read these verses. I'm going to read two other verses to you because I don't want to have to make you stand a long time and have to look them up and then go back to them. I've got three verses in my kickoff from my text here this evening, and see if you can figure it out see if you can figure the title of the message out while I'm reading these scriptures to you. All right. The first one here is in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, and we're going to read down through verse 20. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. You know, that means that Jesus is involved, amen, in worship of God. He says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found this place of where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of his sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, that's the first verse, the first few verses. Let me read two more verses to you and just listen to the wording. And from Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:15, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then he says in Psalm chapter 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, what do you think the title to the message might be this evening?
Short sermon.
Ain't going to be short. But what do you think? Anybody get three words in those verses, three separate words? One was the book, one was the blood, and then the third is the hope. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope is what I'd like to speak to you on this evening for a few moments. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege we have to gather around it. And God, we ask that you'd have your way and your will accomplished. And Father, that you be magnified upon high. And Lord, always, Father, I look out tonight and everyone here that's here that raised their hand last night about salvation. I thank you for that, Father. But Father, if there's any question at all, help them to get that settled tonight, and we'll give you the praise and the thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. The book, the blood, you may be seated. The book, the blood, I could make you stand up, I guess. Jeannie, you can sit down, we'll make everybody else stand up. Amen. And the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And I wrote this sermon many, many, many years ago before Dr. Don Green invented his flag. Did you ever see the Baptist flag, brother? You know, and he's got that hanging. A lot of churches have that hanging on their wall behind their pulpits now, and it says the book, the blood, and the blessed hope underneath it, you know. And it's really a red and white flag. It really looks pretty neat when you look at it. The problem is that flag almost looks like the flag for Budweiser beer that they use, you know. When you look at it, I don't think he knew that when he designed that flag. But the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And this evening, as we begin, I want to. And I have a lot of scripture, and I have a lot of these already written up. I'll never get done if I have you turn to all of them. Okay, so we're going to look at only a couple of scriptures this evening as I preach, and I'll give you the rest. Write them down. Go to Psalm 100, chapter 38 with me, the book of Psalms, and the 138th Psalm. The 138th Psalm in the book of Psalms. And we'll begin there in just a second. Psalm 138, and I want to look at verse 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word is highly esteemed by God. The word ought to be important to you and I as the children of God. His word is highly esteemed. Number two, the second thought underneath that on the book, is his word cannot be contained. He says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my heart. Shut up in me. He says, you can't listen. His word cannot be contained. No matter what Jeremiah tried to do, his word was coming out one way or the other. Amen. His word will not be contained. It will not be hid. It will not be stopped. It will never end. It's highly esteemed above his name, he tells you and I. In the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 31, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. In the book of Luke 21:33, but my words shall not pass away. And I believe it's more than what just God has said in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. I believe it's the whole word of God that he's talking about. His words are established. His words will never pass away. His words will never go away. Well, if we don't have anything else in the world to stand on, we have the word of God. Amen. To stand on as the children of God. I was telling Pastor Dave about a friend of mine that built a church. Somebody set his church on fire years ago down in Roanoke, Alabama. And they set a match on the back corner of the church when the wind was blowing this direction. That's when they set the fire with some old oily, dirty, gassy rags, and they burnt the building down. And what amazed, there's two or three things I want to mention about that. One of the things was, Pastor, one of the men of the church, there were a couple of them, one of the men had his Bible sitting on a pew in that church, and that church burnt to the ground. But that Bible never burnt up. That Bible stayed. Now, it got wet because when the firemen came out and started spraying water in there, and so it's got water marks all through it, and just a few edges on the Bible were just a little brown, but it did not destroy the Word of God. And there was more than that. There was a couple other Bibles, Pastor told me, that not one Bible that was in the pews of that church got burned in that fire. And the building was completely destroyed. If you saw it, preacher, it burnt right to the ground. But the Bibles remained. Isn't that something? God's Word will stand. The other thing about that church that I thought was interesting, they built a new building. And they built a steel frame building, and there where they're at outside the city limits, they have to have no inspections other than to make sure that steel frame is the way it's set. And we wired it and did everything else and sheetrocked it and everything. Never had to have one inspector come in. Never had to have one guy say, you can't do that. Never had to have one guy say, well, I can shut you down if I want to, brother. Amen. Never had one guy tell us anything like that when I was down there helping, or any other time before they got the building done. And up on the platform, I wired that whole platform. And up on the platform, it goes up 5 steps. And there's a beautiful pulpit up there. And in the floor behind that pulpit, there's a piece of 3/4-inch plate glass. And that plate glass, you're not going to break that. You can jump on that. I can jump on that, Brother Dave. It ain't breaking, I'm telling you, you know. And so the preacher tried it. He was bigger than me at one time, I think. And so, but you look down through that glass, and there's a box down there the same size as that glass on top. And there's a light down there in the bottom, a little fluorescent light that's on the side, and it shines up where you can see. And in the bottom of that box down there, there's a flat rock. And you're standing right on that rock when you preach. But not only is that there, he's got an old-fashioned King James Bible with the old latches on it that he bought. I forget how much he paid for that thing. And he's got that opened up and laying on that rock. You can see the rock, and you can see the Bible. And when you're standing there preaching, you're standing on the rock and the Word. Amen. He said, our church is built on the rock and the Word. And, you know, the Word of God is important. The Word of God will not be destroyed, no matter what people try to do. You say, well, that was just one Bible. I think God was just proving a point to that church, amen. And maybe proving a point to you and me that His Word cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped, amen. It's going to continue to go on. His Word is highly esteemed, and His Word is a living Word. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the capital W-O-R-D of God. The capital, the Word of God, He says to you and I. His Word is a living Word. Not just this Bible is the living Word of God, but Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He is still alive today in glory for you and me at the throne of grace, making intercession for you and for I continually as believers in Jesus Christ. And the intercession is made between us and Him. The Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to Him, making utterings that we cannot even utter ourselves. Amen. Saying things to the Holy Spirit of God. What a wonderful God we have. He said He is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. He said in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. And the Word, capital W-O-R-D, was with God. And the Word, capital W-O-R-D, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made, listen, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I was in North Carolina one time with Evangelist Wally Hallberg and I in a church preaching together, and I used to get a number of the preachers years ago, pastor, to go with me on some of our trips, Clarence Heflin, out in New England sometimes for 6 or 7 weeks. We two guys would preach a night sometimes, amen. We had a ball. I preached first one night, he preached second. The next night, he preached first, and I preached second. Well, I was in North Carolina with another evangelist friend of mine that I invited along, Wally Hallberg, and we're doing me. We're out of visitation, and we're walking down down the street one day in this little town of Mebane, North Carolina. Well, it's not a real little town, but it ain't a big town either. But it's bigger than Dresden, amen. And bigger than Dundee, too, you know. So as we're going in Mebane, we're walking down the street, and I walk up, and I'm walking out, and we're getting ready to go up to the next house as we're walking down there, handing out flyers and inviting people to church. And there's a guy sitting in his garage over there. And as I walk up to the guy sitting in his garage, start to talk to him about the things of the Lord, and he says, "Oh," he says, "I'm saved." He says, "I've been born again," and he said, "But I've been studying with the Jehovah's Witness." I said, "Well, no, wait a minute, you know, brother, you know what I'm talking about? Sort of like that fellow that you and I were talking about today, you know, a little bit." And so he says, "I've been studying with Jehovah's Witness." I said, "All right." I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "You know the scriptures. You say you were a born-again Baptist, saved by the grace of God, and you're not going to a Baptist church, but you're studying with somebody who doesn't believe the truth of the Word of God, that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't believe those things?" And he said, well, I guess I am. I said, "Well, let me share something with you." I said, "You explain this scripture to me. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." All capital W's. And I said, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Not talking about God, talking about the Word. You know, that's God in the God who will be God in the flesh later on. Jesus Christ. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." I said, "Who do you think that is referring to?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, Jesus." I said, "And why are you studying with people who don't believe who Jesus is?" He said, "I need to get back to the Baptist church, don't I?" I said, "Absolutely, amen." I didn't let him off the hook, hallelujah, brother. The Word, the book is important to you and I. Not just important in what we believe about the book, not just important on how we can stand on the book, but it's important enough to us to want to be in the book, to be in this book, you and I, to read the Bible, to study the Word of God, and to see what God would have for each one of us. Every time you read the Word of God, something should jump out at you that you did not see before. Something should jump out at you to confirm what you've seen before. Amen. You think, "Man, that's good. I needed that one more time." Yeah. You'll get something. Sometimes people say, "Well, I do my little devotional. Praise the Lord. I'm glad." But sometimes all you're doing is reading somebody else's story in a verse. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that. I'm just simply saying there's more to the Bible than that. Amen. And sometimes I think we just need to read until we get something. If we don't get something, but keep reading until you get it, amen. I think just go on the Word of God until God gives you something for that day to help you as a child of God. Well, the book is important to God. His Word is highly esteemed, and His Word is the living Word. And then His Word for you and I is something that we can stand on and hold to. And then the blood. People have done away so much, Pastor, today, anything to do with the blood of Christ. If you go over here, I would doubt very much, if you went over here across, don't go to the Methodist Church, I'm saying, but if you went over to their church and you picked up their hymnal, the United Methodist Church many years ago removed the blood from any one of their songs in their hymn books. And I'm not saying they all have, but many of them, and I would highly doubt if you'd pick up that book over there and find anything in reference to the blood. They said, because that's a bloody gospel, that's a bloody song. Absolutely, amen. He had to shed His blood for you and I. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His blood is plenteous, the Bible says. That means abundant, altogether common. Matthew 26:28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And the idea of many means it's abundant for everybody. It's there for many. Anybody who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Pastor, it's not just for a few select people that some would say, and this one can be saved, and this one cannot be saved. No, everybody can be saved. If they're not saved, it's because they've chosen not to believe, chosen not to follow God, chosen not. Somebody said, "What do you do with all the tribes over in Africa for years ago?" Can I tell you what? Every one of them came out of the loins from Noah off of that boat, brother. Amen. Every one of them had an opportunity to believe God, and they denied Him and rejected Him. And now we have to take the gospel back to them that they might hear the very word of God. His blood is plenteous. His blood gives life. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And he's not talking about the literal blood and talking about the literal. He's talking about Jesus Christ trusting in his blood and believing in him and accepting what he has done for you upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. We don't believe when you take communion, you do not believe that that bread that you eat literally becomes the body of Christ. You do not believe that literally when you eat that, it becomes the literal blood of Jesus Christ. There are many who believe that today. Amen. Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, Episcopalianism. Yeah. They believe all these isms believe that. Amen. All these Protestant churches. By the way, let me interject something to you here. We are not Protestant.
Praise.
If somebody says, are you Protestant? No, I'm not Protestant. I'm Baptist. Amen. Yeah. Well, isn't a Baptist Protestant? Absolutely not. We can trace our history all the way back to the apostles in the first church, going all the way back in history to what they taught. We are Baptist by belief, Baptist by conviction, amen. That's what I am. I hope that's what you are too, amen. I'm not Baptist by convenience, hallelujah. His blood is plenteous. His blood gives us life, and then his blood purchased the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased the church with his blood. He made it possible for you to become part of the church, made it possible for you to become a believer because he purchased you with his blood. He purchased the church with his own precious blood. And then his blood justifies over in Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Justified by his blood. I tell you what, I heard someone one time, they say, well, that word justified does not mean just if you never sin, brother. They can say what they want. But I tell you, when Jesus looks at me, he looks at me just as if I never sinned. Amen. He justified me through the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't justify me through my prayer. He didn't justify me through what I believed. He didn't justify me through anything but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I believed in that. I put my faith and trust in that. But it's not my belief that justifies me. It's Jesus Christ that justifies me. It's Jesus Christ that justifies you. He looks at you and says, boy, I tell you what, I accept him because I see him through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you what, my friend, his blood justifies. His blood redeems in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, the redemption. He made it possible through redeeming you. The price has been paid. He paid for you with his shed blood upon the very cross of Calvary. That's the Holy God that we have, the Holy God that we love, the Holy God that we serve, in him who in whom we have redemption through his blood. You can't have it any other way. You cannot be redeemed any other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight that he redeemed you through the precious son, through the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ? Amen. And then his blood draws us nigh to him. Boy, his blood will draw you nigh to him. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You could come up close to him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You made it possible for you not to walk alone in this dark, sinful, wicked world. It's possible for you now as a child of God to walk next to God, nigh unto him, nigh with him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And without the blood, that is totally impossible for that to happen. You could not walk with God. You could think you were. You could pretend you were. You could act like you were, but you could not walk with God without the blood of Jesus Christ. He draws you nigh unto himself, draws you up next to him, and his blood provides forgiveness for sins in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins, even the forgiveness of sins, excuse me. I get to thinking about this fellow a number of years ago, pastor, and out in California, that wrote the book, and he made description in the book where he said it's not the blood of Christ that saves you, but it's the death of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Well, sure, he had to die. But if you read the Word of God, you're an idiot if you do not believe it was by the blood, that the shedding of the blood, that he had to die. He had to die, but he had to shed the blood. He could have died, Tracy. He could have got run over by a chariot, and it would not have meant anything without the shedding of the blood of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary, because it said he had to go to the tree. And it had to be that way and that way alone, and no other way could he die but through the blood. The blood was important. Sure, he had to die. We know that. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the blood had to be there in order for that to happen. Amen. For you to be able to have redemption for your sin as a child of God. Again, he makes a statement, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then his blood gives us eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, he makes a statement, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He redeemed us eternally. Not just for the moment, not just when you prayed, not just when you were done praying, but he redeemed us eternally. That's forever, amen. It says something that never stops. That word eternal is the idea of perpetual, never ending, never finishing, never completing. It's always there. It's already completed in Christ, but you can't lose what he gave you, because he gave it to you through his blood, amen. He died for you upon the cross of Calvary, that you might be able to have eternal redemption. Boy, I thank you for my eternal redemption. I'm glad I didn't have to do anything, Pastor. I did not have to cut off a hand to get into heaven, or cut off a foot to get into heaven, or pluck out an eye to get into heaven, or to pull the hair off my head. Well, I ain't got no hair to pull off, or, you know, to get in. I'm glad I didn't have to do those things to get into heaven. Amen. Thank God that he's made the way possible that we can have eternal life through him and through him alone. You can't have it any other way. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. The Bible is very clear. That's why we believe the book, and we believe the blood because of what the book says. Amen. Boy, I tell you, this book tells you a lot about the blood. Not only does it give us eternal redemption, but his blood gives us access to the throne. Oh, what a wonderful privilege that is to have throne, access to the throne of the grace of God for you and I. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I can enter in by the blood of Jesus. I don't have to have some priest, pastor that sits in a booth next to me, and then he makes a statement, and I go out and say 10 Hail Marys and 20 Our Fathers, and then drop some money in the poor box in the back of the church on the way out. I don't have to do that, amen. I got access to the throne of God directly. Pastor, I thank God. I know that you pray for me. I pray for you. I thank God. But if you never pray for me, I have access to the throne of God on my own, amen. I can go to his grace. It's amazing to me. There's so much room at the throne of God. You come in here, and if you got 25 people in here, if everybody came to the altar, you'd be knee deep back here somewhere. But I tell you what, the throne of God, we all got room at the altar. I don't know how big that throne is, but I guarantee you it's bigger than what we have right here. And there's room for thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of people to gather around the throne of God at the prayer time daily as a believer in Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, boy, when other people are praying for you, you know you're not up there by yourself, but if you were, it would be fine, because you have access to the throne of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then his blood sanctifies us. Boy, I tell you what, I thank God that it's his blood that sanctifies us, because it's sure I cannot sanctify myself. I cannot be holy on myself. I can't. It will not happen. Could not happen. I don't know about you, but boy, before I got saved, I tried to do a few good things. Amen. Because, you know, I thought that maybe if I did enough good things, it would help me get out of the bad things I did. You know that don't work in front of a judge.
No.
You know, you go in front of a judge, and the judge, you can say all you want, well, yeah, but I did this, and I did this, and I did this. He says, yeah, but this is what you did, and this is what you're going to prison for right here. Not because you didn't do these, or because you did this to keep you out. No, you did this. Hey, that's the throne of God, amen. People are going to stand before Him one day, and they're going to be condemned because He is rejected. They have rejected Him. His blood sanctifies us. Hebrews 13:11 says, for the bodies of those beasts which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. He sanctified His people with His own blood. And I want to guarantee you this, my friend. When you got saved, you got sanctified. You didn't get sanctified the next week, the next hour, the next minute, the next second. At the moment of salvation, God sanctified you by His grace through the Holy Spirit of God. He filled you. He separated you unto Himself, and He wants you to live a separate life. I could not do that without Jesus Christ. I could not do that without the shed blood of the Lamb. He sanctifies through His precious blood, and then His blood cleanses us from all sin. Well, I have a hard time understanding that one sometimes, preacher. All sin. You know what that is? Past, that's present, and what else? It's future. He cleanses me. That does not mean I don't need to come to Him and make things right. But He says there in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says in chapter 1 and verse 9, two verses later, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That does not negate my responsibility. It means that I have forgiveness. You know, I got to be very careful how I say this so I'm not misunderstood. But if I never prayed another prayer, and if I never served the Lord another day in my life, my sins are still blotted out. I'd be wicked. I wouldn't be right. But He cleansed me from all sin. You say, how do you explain it? I can't. Other than what His Word says. I don't know how. And I don't want to be that way. I want to make sure that I'm right with God. Amen. I'm just simply telling you, that's no excuse for you to go out and live wicked. And if you're living wicked and doing wrong things, and you want to do wrong things, that's how you want to live, shame on you. I'm just simply saying, there's a way that we ought to do, and we're sanctified because of Him and what He has done, and His blood cleanses us from all sin. All sin. When we see the book and we see the blood, and I look at the blessed hope with me. The promise of His coming. This blessed hope, amen. He says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. Looking. I don't know about you. Are you looking for the blessed hope? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? Are you looking for Jesus Christ to come? Are you looking for Him to come tomorrow? Are you looking for Him to come right now? Amen. Well, I'm looking for Him. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if tonight, sitting here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church in Dresden, New York, at this moment, if Jesus came back, and we were caught up in a cloud, we got raptured, and we were with Him now and no longer. Wouldn't that be great, amen? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing in the world to be taken out of here right now? Boy, what a privilege, what a wonderful time that would be. You say, but that wouldn't be right, Brother Mike, because I'm listening to the preaching of the Word of God. It'd be right because I wouldn't have to preach again the rest of my life. I know I'd have everything right then, amen, hallelujah. I think I'm all right now, but I will be right then, hallelujah, amen. The promise of His coming, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We say we believe in the imminent return of Christ. Amen. It means any moment, any second, any hour, any day. Right now, tomorrow, next day, don't matter, whenever, you know. Every day is the imminent return of Christ. Every day we believe in that. But do we live like we believe in it? Do we live our life like we believe He can come back at any second? And, you know, I'm thinking if we thought about that, if we thought about that, would not we respond different to people?
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, he said, to respond is a work of the Spirit, but to react is a work of the flesh. Wouldn't we react different, amen? We'd probably respond rather than react, wouldn't we? If we really thought about Him coming back any second, because we would not want to get caught in that moment of anger, that moment of bitterness, that moment of You know, we'll not want to get caught. And that moment of that thought, boy, if they open their mouth one more time, this is what you're thinking. You're not saying it. If they open their mouth one more time, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Be careful, because you might only have one piece left. Amen. Just be careful now. You might just have a piece left. The promise of His coming, the blessed hope, and then the promise of His empowerment in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His empowerment, again, let's say it one more time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's empowered us, raising us up from eternal damnation. That idea of being a lively hope, we think of lively. You might see a little kid running around coming into the church, a pastor. You know, if you got a family with 10 kids, you might have one of them one of them little kids. Amen. You might have one of them little kids. I mean, he just takes off like a shot. And he goes across here, and he comes back up, you know. And you would say, that boy is a live wire, amen? A live wire. But for you and I, this idea of a lively hope is much more than that. It's the idea that our life is so consumed with the things of Jesus Christ that we can't help but talk about Him. We can't help but share about Him. We can't help but want to live about Him. This lively hope, He's empowered us to be able to have a right life as a child of God. And then we see also the blessed hope is in His abundant filling in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. His abundant filling, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen again. To whom God would make known unto you is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. His abundant filling, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The Gentiles do not understand. What are the Gentiles today? Anybody who does not believe in Jesus Christ, other than the Jews, are still God's chosen people, amen? And we would say, after lining them up, they act like the Gentiles, but they don't believe them, amen? But the Gentiles, those who are not saved, the world does not understand. You don't expect the world to ever understand why you don't live the way they live. Don't expect them to understand why you don't talk the way they talk. Don't expect them to understand, Pastor, when somebody's cussing you out. Don't expect them to understand when you say, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. And they're not going to, they don't understand. They could give a rip. Can I tell you that? The world could give a rip. I tell you, listen, years ago, Pastor, before I was saved, I would have cussed you out, amen. Shame on me. But I'm glad that God saved me. Amen. I'm glad I used to be on that side. I'm glad I'm on this side now. And I've had people cuss me out before. I can put up with it. I've got big shoulders. I ain't going to whine about it. Amen. Well, yeah, I will. Amen. I'm just saying. You know, there's a for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, He's abundantly filled us through the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. And then we see His blessed hope in His comfort. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Boy, when someone who knows Jesus Christ passes on out of this world, and they've been saved by the very grace of God, we don't sorrow for them, amen? We have sorrow in our life, but not because of where they are at, because if they're saved, we know they're in heaven. We might sorrow because they've been taken out of her life, amen? Sure, we'll sorrow. When my mom goes, she's 94 and it won't be long, I don't think. Maybe she might outlive me yet, I don't know. And she does praise the Lord, but when she goes, there's going to be some sorrow there in my heart, amen. I pray my mom's saved. My nephew talked to her again. I talked to her, never got a real straight answer. My nephew said he talked to her, and she said, He said, Uncle Mike, Grandma said she's saved. I said, praise the Lord. I never got that answer from her before. I'm glad you did, amen. And so I'll rejoice in the fact I'm going to see her again one day, amen. That's between her and the Lord. But if she wasn't saved, preacher, the sorrow would be different. The sorrow would be different. But knowing that she knows Christ as her Savior, it will be all the difference in the world. When my brother's, when my wife's brother passed away years ago, there was sadness, but we know we'll see him again. When my wife's mother passed away, there was sadness. I did her funeral, brother, and someone said, "You're gonna say I'm gonna preach it. You're gonna be all right. Yeah, I'm gonna be all right." I bawled like a baby. Amen. I was closer to my mother-in-law than I was to my mother at the time. We're gonna see her again one day. I'm gonna see my grandson again one day. I believe who's in glory. Amen. I'm gonna see these who've gone on before us. There's no sorrow in that aspect, but sure we miss them. There's sorrow there. There's sorrow of the world, amen. Sorrow in our heart because we are going to miss them. But to know where they're at, there will be no sorrow there. Hallelujah, amen. I thank God for that. He's comfort, he says, and hope. And then we see his hope in his assurance. He says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, which have fled for joy to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, more sure and steadfast, which entereth into within a veil. This is short. Two immutable things. One was his promise to Abraham is where it begins with that. Your seed's going to be multiplied like the sand by the sea and the stars in heaven. There's going to, you innumerable, you can't count them. And the other one was when over in Genesis where he sealed that oath with Abraham. When Abraham was up on top of the mountain, and then Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God told him he seals that oath at that time seals that promise at that time with the oath of his word. And today we can say our two immutable things. Well, God can't lie. And he said he gave you Jesus Christ. Amen? He cannot lie. And when he said he gives you Jesus Christ, he said he's going to come back again. Guess what? He cannot lie. Amen. Boy, I thank God we have a God that cannot lie. We have a God that could not lie. We have a God that will never lie. Can I make one more statement to you, preacher? We have a God that Jesus Christ that could not even think about lying.
Amen.
Because the thought was, listen, how many of you have thoughts in your mind sometimes you know are not right? Amen. Jesus Christ could not have a thought like that, because if he could have had a thought like that, then his blood could have absolutely done nothing, because he was 100% perfect man and 100% perfect God, could not lie, could not sin, could not even think about sinning, pastor, could not think about denying the Father. He said, Lord, he said, if this could be taken from you, let but not my will, but thine, Lord, if this cup could be removed. He wasn't even thinking about it. If it could be, let it happen, but he wasn't thinking about, I'm not going to do this. He never thought one time. He never thought one time about not going to the cross of Calvary. He went there for you and me and outstretched his hands, and they ran nails through, and he hung there for you and I, that we might be able to have eternal redemption. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen. I hope that you line up tonight with the book, and you line up tonight with the blood. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, my friend, the blood will do something for you. The Bible has a lot more to say about the blood. Amen. Man, we could exhaust that. I preach more on that tonight than any of the two parts, preacher. And we could you could not exhaust this message in a year. You couldn't exhaust it in a year. You could study on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and never end out, run out of scripture, pastor. You can never run out. You just go back to the scripture, and you can find an illustration somewhere about the book, or an illustration somewhere about the blood, or an illustration somewhere about the blessed hope, and the whole, all of the Word of God, beginning in Genesis with the sacrifice of a lamb in the Garden of Eden, when God clothed Adam and Eve, amen, and he showed them how to shed shed the blood at that first sight. This is what you're going to do when you leave this garden. This is going to appease me. You need to do this. Boy, and they did it, amen. Adam taught his boys how to do it, and one rejected it and one accepted it. Don't reject the blood of Christ. Don't reject what God wants to do for you and in you and with you, amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions this evening. Number one again, are you saved? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight if you are, but I'm going to ask you to do this if you're not sure. If you're not sure, there's just something in your mind, in your heart, that is unsettled about your salvation. And you say, I think I might be, but I'm just not sure. Could I pray for you? Anybody like that right now? You up, raise your hand, and I will pray for you. My prayer can't save you and wouldn't save you, but I would pray for you that you could get this thing settled once and for all. Anybody at all like that tonight? Amen. Anybody else tonight? Get it settled once and for all. I'm going to pray for you. Second question is this. Brother Mike, there's some verses in there I took encouragement in tonight. Some verses in there that help me. Some verses in there that challenge me. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about right now? Slip your hands up in the air. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. But Father, I thank you for these who raised their hand, Lord, that you might have your way and your will accomplished in their lives, Father. For this one, Father, tonight who raised their hand, just a question, not sure, unsettled, Father, in their heart about their salvation. God, I pray that you would help, Heavenly Father, please, tonight, that this one will get this one settled, get this settled with you. And God, I pray that you give them the grace to be able to step out, give them the grace to be able to talk to someone this evening. And God, we'll give you the praise and thanks for that. Father, others who raise their hand tonight, to help them, dear Lord, please, to get strength from your book and from your blood and from your blessed hope, from the promises that you have given unto us through your precious word. And I'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions. The first question is this, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to do this. No one looking around, only me. No one looking around. If you raised your hand a second ago and you looked at me and you said, Mike, I'm unsettled about that. Look up here just for a second. Just look. Don't say anything, because this is not to embarrass you, okay? Don't say anything. Just shake your head yes or no. You're not sure. Am I correct about that? Would you like to be sure? I want you to step out and come right now. Come on. What? Preacher? Can I, others of you raise your hand tonight? Did you mean it? Lord, speak to your heart. Lord, encourage you. Lord, help you. Lord, strengthen you. Whatever. Why don't you come and pray about that right now? Whatever God spoke your heart about. Come on. You slip out and you come. You come and take care of this evening. God bless you. Amen. How about others? You say, I didn't raise my hand, Brother Mike. It does not matter if the Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and you come. You can even sit down where you're at, because I realize it. It's harder than some people to get out. If you need to just pray and take it to the Lord. Make sure that you get some things settled with God as a child of God tonight. Make sure those things are right between you and the Lord before we leave here tonight. And pray for Pastor as he's dealing with this one right now. While you're up here, pray for Pastor. Pray for total understanding up here, if you would. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Father, I thank you for those who slipped out and came. And Father, pray for Pastor. Help him, dear Lord, please. And God, give understanding tonight. And God, that you'd have all the honor and the glory. Thank you for those who made decisions this evening. Father, it may be a decision because of something you encourage them with to strengthen them even more. Father, I pray that you'd have the honor and the glory. Help them, Father. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Why don't we just be seated until Pastor's done, and then and let's be quiet until, you know, we were not interrupting. Wait, let's be seated.
Praise the Lord. 129 in our hymn books. Let's go ahead and open there. Let's stand for invitation again. God's tugged on your heart. Watch the words of this old hymn. Praise the Lord. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Last verse. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again holding coming.